First, we do salutations to Lord Ganesh, Mother Saraswati, and Gurudev.
वक्रतुंडमहाकाय सूर्यकोटिसमप्रभा
निर्विघ्नं
कुरु मे देव सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी विद्यारंभं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा समस्त जन कल्याण निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्म विद्वरं गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुर्साक्षात् परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Number one. Jagrat swapna sushupti shusputatara.
Jagrat swapna sushupti shusputatara.
Vyasam vidujrimbhate.
Vyasam vidujrimbhate.
Yavahmadi pipilikanta tanushu.
Yavahmadi pipilikanta tanushu.
Bhota jagat sakshini.
Bhota jagat sakshini.
Saivaham nacha drishyavat vastviti driha.
Saivaham nacha drishyavat vastviti driha.
Prajna piyasyasti che.
Prajna piyasyasti che.
Chandalostu satu dvijostu guruhu.
Chandalostu satu dvijostu guruhu.
Ittesha manisha mama.
Ittesha manisha mama.
Brahmaivahamidam jagatcha sakalam.
Brahmaivahamidam jagatcha sakalam.
Chinmatravastaritam.
Chinmatravastaritam.
Sarvam chaitad vidyaya trigunaya.
Sarvam chaitad vidyaya trigunaya.
Ashesham maya kalpitam.
Ashesham maya kalpitam.
Ittham yasya drha mati sukhatare.
Ittham yasya drha mati sukhatare.
Nitye pare nirmale.
Nitye pare nirmale.
Chandalostu satu dvijostu guruhu.
Chandalostu satu dvijostu guruhu.
Ittesha manisha mama.
Ittesha manisha mama.
Shashvanashvarameva vishvamakhilam.
Shashvanashvarameva vishvamakhilam.
Nishchitya vacha guroh.
Nishchitya vacha guroh.
Nityam brahma nirantaram vimrishata.
Nityam brahma nirantaram vimrishata.
Nirvyaja shantatmana.
Nirvyaja shantatmana.
Bhutam bhavi cha duskritam pradahata.
Bhutam bhavi cha duskritam pradahata.
Samvinmaye pavake.
Samvinmaye pavake.
Prarabdhaya samarpitam swavapuhu.
Prarabdhaya samarpitam swavapuhu.
Itesha manisha mama.
Itesha manisha mama.
यातिर्यं नर देवताभिरहम इति
यातिर्यं नर देवताभिरहमिति
यातिर्यं नर देवताभिरहमिति
यातिर्यं नर देवताभिरहमिति
अन्तस्फुटा गुह्यते
अन्तस्फुटा गुह्यते
यद्भासा हृदयाक्षदेह विषया
यद्भासा हृदयाक्षदेह विषया
भान्ति स्वतो चेतनाः
भान्ति स्वतो चेतनाः
तां भास्येऽपि हितार्कमण्डलनिभाम्
तां भास्येऽपि हितार्कमण्डलनिभाम्
स्फूर्तिं सदा भावयन्
स्फूर्तिं सदा भावयन्
योगी निर्वृतमानसो हि गुरुः
योगी निर्वृतमानसो हि गुरुः
इत्येषा मनीषा मम
इत्येषा मनीषा मम
योगी निर्वृतमानसः हि गुरुः दट् योगी who is nirvritamanasaha. The mind is made up of pure consciousness. But consciousness in motion, you know, we have put the research in motion. This is consciousness in motion. And everything about consciousness that we say, it is only a superimposition on consciousness. In consciousness, really, there could be no motion, there could be no doership, no kartritva bhav, no nothing. It is what we call pure consciousness is without any attributes. It is akarta. But whatever appears, like a rope, which is there, and then the snake is superimposed on it. So whatever is going on in consciousness is only a superimposition. It is as though there is movement. And how is that possible? Because consciousness itself has this inherent capacity. Then it is infinite, has infinite possibilities, and so one possibility is to appear as though it is moving. You know, very much like the example Gurudev is to give. If you take the bucket of water and you put it in the sun, and you look inside there, and just shake the bucket a little bit, you will see the sun shaking. But really, sun which is there, if the sun were to shake, we will be in real trouble. Doesn't shake. Huh? But here it appears to be shaking. So here there appears to be movement. Vritti. Vritti means modulation, modification of consciousness. Consciousness forming waves, consciousness forming forms, shapes, consciousness forming all sorts of things, thoughts, right? That is called a vritti of consciousness. Just like the water of the ocean forming into waves. So, if you look from the outside, you see waves. If you go deep into the water,
just catching radio.
Where?
Just catching radio.
Oh.
You want to turn it off or you just have to listen to some
music? Just try now.
Now?
No, but your record is
the one. You can put that recorder down below.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's okay.
Put that one here, and you can turn off the.
Now this the sound is coming. Radio.
Yeah, now radio sound is coming.
Yes, there's two coming. So now it's coming.
You can hear. You can hear me. Now this is. Okay. So. There is only an appearance of movement. So I was telling, if you look at the wave from where we stand, and we look at the wave, we see it goes up and down like that. If you go deep inside that ocean, and you ask any H2O molecule, you have wave in you? The H2O molecule, eh? Do you have wave in you? You say, what wave? All I have is two hydrogen and one? Oxygen. What wave are you talking about? Where is wave? What is wave?
He'll ask. So from deep down inside that thing, there is no inkling also of any wave. So there's, so just like that, at the deepest level, consciousness has absolutely no movement, no modifications, no modulations, no nothing. From the outside, is it consciousness taken on this vritti? It has taken on this form. It's taken on this distinct and separate form from some other form which it has taken there. There it takes the form of a cow. It takes the form of a dog. Both are thoughts and both are made up of consciousness, and it's called vritti on the inner mind. So here, yogi nirvitamanasaha means what? That yogi who has made his mind so quiet, so silent, through all of the techniques which you learn in, for sadhana, you know, he starts with simple sadhana, simple things, and all the things which he encounters in the world which causes his mind to flutter up and to go into so many different types of thought patterns and directions and get sidetracked and distracted and agitated and all of these things. Over long years of sadhana, the person is able to deal with those things and calm them down through japa, through meditation or whatever, through swadhyaya, through deep reflection. Oh, why am I getting so worked up about this thing, that thing, the other thing? Really speaking, I am causing my own agitation and distraction and all that kind of thing. Let me just leave it. That is the nature of the world. That is what it does. That is the definition of world. It goes on like that. And look at me. So foolishly, I am like a train buggy. Train buggy means what? Engine is going. I hitched myself onto that. So if the engine is going and I hitch myself onto the engine, what will happen? I will also go. So, Gurudev used to say, clutch off. You know, Gurudev's example also shows that he knew so much about cars also. Clutch off and clutch on. In the old days, they used to have clutch. Now, many of you will not know what a clutch, you know. And that car, there used to be three pedals. Now there are only two pedals. That third pedal is to be the clutch. So what a clutch does? Wonderful job. Engine is spinning all the time. Right? When you press, you disconnect the rear wheel from the engine. When you press. When you release, you connect the rear wheel to the engine, which is all the time going. So if you connect your wheel to the engine, which is all the time going, then what will happen to the car? It will go. So samsara is like that. Samsara is all the time coming up with so many new and wonderful and amazing things. It keeps on bringing every day. Oh, so that is the joy of samsara. So now, if I press the clutch, I disconnect. If I release that clutch, I connect to samsara. Then my mind also now, it keeps going. So to clutch off, he used to say. Means I press that clutch. I'm not going to connect to the samsara and keep running. So, and no matter what you do, you could never correct anything in the samsara. Samsara is like a dog's tail. Swami Vivekananda used to describe. No? Dog's tail is curved like this. So what you do? You straighten it and you let it go. It goes away. Again, you straighten it like that and you let it go. That is a description of samsara. So why are you clutched on to that type of samsara? So to be able, with a good package of sadhana over a long period of time, to be able to clutch off on what samsara. Even if you're in the midst of it, Gandhiji used to say. He used to say, I want to get my peace and my tranquility and everything in the midst of the marketplace. I want to have my peace in the midst of everything. Not to sit down in some cave and have peace only. But in the midst, to be there and to clutch off. Sometimes that may require that we take some respite, you know, we go away for some time and gain a certain amount of balance and then come back. Because it is sometimes very difficult. Like, for example, a person who is trying to quit smoking. And the first thing is to keep him away from that thing, you know. There might be some people who are strong enough and they have the cigarette right in front of them, and they take a strong vow, okay, I'm not touching it from now. Then no light, is it on? You'll have to get it from here, because today I don't know where my one also went.
We charged it, but it stopped. We didn't charge it. It's okay.
Thank God one person is surviving.
I hope it's
dead. Two down.
Does anybody want to see the radio somewhere connected to the speaker?
No.
Okay. Leave it. So, to get that state of tranquility and peace in the midst of the marketplace, sometime, somewhere, we may need to pull out. That's why you see we go and we sit in some ashram for a number of years, or, you know, for a period where you can gain a relative amount of balance and a relative amount of stability in the mind. And then you come back and tackle it again. Otherwise, from the beginning itself, just to tackle that head on, you know, that is like taking the bull by the horns when you're not a matador. But you become matador, then you cannot take the bull by the horns, you know. So through a good package of sadhana like this for a long time practicing, the person is able to become nirvritamanasaha, that mind free from all such modifications and all agitations and the constant volcanic eruptions of the mind, throwing up this thought, this memory, this desire, that ambition, so many things goes on through it. But the person who is really subjected himself to this sadhana is able to sit down and watch that mind into quietude. Watch it into quietude. Means by watching it, it simmers down. That person is my guru, he says. That person discovers what? That person with a quiet mind discovers ya tiriyang nara devata bhihi ahamiti antas puta guhyate. At the deepest recesses of his being, in the deepest recesses of his existence, his being, his presence, he finds that reality which expresses as aham. Aham iti puta. It keeps manifesting as aham. In what? In Tiriyang. Tiriyang means the animals. Nara in man. Devata. Devata abhi. In the gods. In all of these animals, men and gods, that same one reality, which is at the deepest level of his being, that reality manifests as I. It is from that reality an individuality is born. That individuality is again just like the rope. Snake on the rope. Because in the absolute reality, there is uniformness. There is one uniform reality. Where is individuality there? You see? There is no individuality. Existence is one uniform reality. But in that, the possibility of the birth of anything is there. Anything can be born in that. What talk of individuality? See, because that uniform reality has so many infinite possibilities, Lord Krishna or Lord Rama could manifest in numerous forms simultaneously. It is said that when Bhagavan Ram came back to Ayodhya, all the people were so happy and everybody wanted to see Ram, everybody wanted to touch his feet, everybody wanted to be close to him. But it was such a crowd, you know. And Ram, out of his infinite compassion, took forms, the number of forms as there were number of people. Everybody got to touch his feet simultaneously. So that one reality has infinite possibilities inherent in it. And so he could take not only individual form, but number of identical individual form. What capacity, what, you know, possibilities are inherent in that reality. So that reality now takes form of this eye. So many eyes everywhere. And whether it is an animal or a plant or whatever, it takes the form of I in that, individual I in that thing. And why Bhagavad Pada Adi Shankaracharya is zeroing on this I, you know? It is with deep meditation on this I, our individual I, means I say, I identify myself, nah, as this person, that person, whatever, I identify myself. So long meditation on this I, and asking like Sri Ramana Maharishi used to ask, you know, who is this I, first of all? Koham. Kuta ayataha. From where have I come? So sit and meditate. Who am I? From where have I come? Of who am I? Kasyastvam. Means I am of that absolute reality. I have emerged from that reality. And I've been taking myself to be this limited being. But in truth and in fact, I am this reality itself. And, you know, there are things in nature which we encounter like that also. So, yesterday he was trying to take out that, what do you call it, pomegranate. Now, when you look at pomegranate, when you look at this one pomegranate, this size, right? You say this is one thing. It is one, but when you open, it is made up of so many. So it is at the same time one, and at the same time many, isn't it? So that reality is like that. It is at the same time one, but containing in it many. But it manifests as many. The manyness about that reality is a superimposition. The oneness about the reality is its true nature. It has that inherent power to manifest as many individual eyes. And each individual eye will be made up of the essence of that thing. Like if you take now a cup of water. Now when you look at a cup of water from our level here, we see one uniform liquid, isn't it? One uniform liquid we see. But if you take a microscope and you look deeper, you see individual water molecules. Na? So we say, at superficial level, if you look at that water, you will see one uniform, one number of molecules there. But if you go deeper and deeper and deeper in that water, if you have such powerful microscope, at some point, you'll be able to find, because even now science is finding, beyond the molecules, atoms. Beyond the atoms, electrons, protons, neutrons. Beyond those, strings and neutrinos and all such things. Beyond that, energy. Beyond energy, we say there is only one more thing that we call as existence. It is the most subtle thing, which we don't have microscope to see. It is called existence. So existence is the finest, lowest common denominator of the universe. So every individual I, like that, is made up of this existence also. At superficial levels, when you look, you see individual molecules, individual eye. But if you can look deeper, in that eye, you will see it is made up of nothing but pure existence. And it is that existence which is manifesting as all of the individual eyes. So it is a good point, a good reference point for meditation. Now, because I cannot identify with your individual eye, I can only identify with mine. So I go inside and I sit down and first of all, I identify myself. Oh, I am this such and such person and I take myself to be this limited being. I take myself to be man, woman, this, that, teacher, all sorts of things. How many different ways we identify our individual I? And we go on now stripping this individual I. This I is neither man nor woman, neither American nor Indian nor nothing. It's neither teacher nor it is made up of pure consciousness, pure being, pure existence. And it is not disconnected. This is one of the biggest things about our individual I. We see it as separate and disconnected, unconnected to other things. It has demarcations, boundaries, limitations. But it in no way is it demarcated or has boundaries or limitations. Because, let us say this is my individual I. Right? And I say, this is me. And I'm saying, okay, it's made up of consciousness. But it has this boundary, it only reaches here. It's made up of existence. It only reaches there. You say, no, outside my I, there's space. That space also is made up of existence. So, that boundary which you are seeing now between the two, what boundary is there? If this is consciousness, existence, and next to it is also consciousness or existence, so where is the disconnect? There is no disconnect. We are connected to everything. But what a peculiar and wonderful also, Ativichitra Shankaracharya calls it, feat of Maya, that it, even though this is not disconnected, it's totally connected to everything in the universe, we feel that we are so disconnected from everybody. And I have my, and in Western societies, you're taught from day one to protect your private space. You need to protect your privacy and your individuality and your, you know, individual freedoms and rights and everything. Everything in society is geared to make you protect that individuality and to make us stay as disconnected as we can. Retain your individuality. You see, you have individual rights and freedom, so retain it. Fight, defend it. Like that. The knowledge which is given by society is always disintegrating. Secular knowledge. The knowledge which is given by the Rishi is integrating. You should find your oneness with all things in the universe. The existence which makes up your individual I, that same existence makes up every single thing in the universe. Whether it even a dead object, I mean inert object. That is given also in the second line. See. Yad bhasa hridayaksha deha vishaya bhanti swataha achetanaha. That by the shining of which, or by the existence of it, both yad bhasa, by the shining of which, by the illumination of which, all things in the universe become illumined. Whether it is now deha, akshara means senses, akshara the eyes and all the senses, or whether it is hridaya the heart, or vishaya, vishaya means all the objects of the world, all inert things. Even though swataha achetana, by their nature many of these things, or all of these things, are inert. Bhanti, they all shine. They all seem to come to life. We have body by itself, senses by itself, isn't it? They all inert. And this body is inert. But yet this body, you see it moving and we say, oh, it is alive. It is functioning. So how it functions, how it comes alive? It comes alive by the life principle of that reality. And yet bhasa, sarvamidam vibhati. We say, we chant, na? That by the shining of which all things shine. So this is exactly the same thing is given in the line. And here what is given, the examples are also given. Even though the things are inert, achetanaha, all of them. All this universe is inert. And there's one enlivening principle which shines through all of them and make them come to life. Like light. Somehow on the screen you see life, na? But there ain't no life there. On that screen, there's absolutely no life. Everything is dead, inert. But yet you see, and it is so realistic that it makes you cry also. When that one villain kills that hero, some movie they had made of, you know, the oppression of slaves and all. When you look at the movie, you feel like crying, isn't it? So the light comes to life so well that it can evoke all emotions in your heart also. In the very same way, this consciousness brings to life all inner things in the world. And it does it so well that we take it for real. And we love it. So we hate some. We run after some. We run away from some. This is how we interact with the world. And what is doing all that? The same consciousness who is myself. That is an amazing thing. I give life because I am the shining one. I give life to the BMI. I give life to all things in the world, and then I run after the same thing. Welcome to the world. There's a wonderful example of some camel in the Arabian desert. It says it eats some thorny bush, and the bush lacerates the inside of its mouth. It starts bleeding, the thorns. And then the blood of the mouth mixed with the thorns makes that bush taste so good. And he says, oh, this bush is so tasty. This time he is eating his own blood. He thinks he is eating the bush. So we are the ones who actually superimpose everything in this world. I, the pure consciousness, superimpose everything in the world. We give everything life. Look, see here. Simple example. Who made gold expensive?
Indians.
We're the ones who make gold expensive, isn't it? See, if you put a pound of gold here, and you put a pound of dog food there, and you bring a dog, which one he'll take? Pound of dog food, what he'll do with gold? He has no use for gold, isn't it? Because the dog doesn't have the power to superimpose as much as we have the power to superimpose. You see? So we superimpose on that gold so much of worth and so much of value. And then after superimposing so much of worth and value, then we ourselves run after that thing. That is an amazing fact of human existence. We are the one, and not only positive, here, value. We also superimpose negative things on things and then run away from them also. We do both. Both the sides we are guilty of. And we can do that only because the enlivening principle in me, functioning through the body, mind and intellect, and in this case the intellect, superimposes worth on that thing. So, it is not that the thing by themselves, anything in the world has worth or value or is lacking worth or value. They are actually neutral. Everything in the world. But the consciousness in me has this wonderful ability to superimpose. It's an inherent trait, inherent quality. So when we say, why God created the world, why God superimposed this world, or why God manifested this world, that is something inherent. It doesn't have to do it. But one has to make no effort. The sun doesn't have to make an effort to shine. That is its nature. So the universe existing in the Lord is inherent. One doesn't have to make any effort to do it. But one of the possibility is, which is inherent in Bhagavan also, is I can come to know the nature of the reality. I can come to experience the nature of the reality. And that is what we are pursuing. Because when I keep my mind at the level of the manifestation, all I get there is sorrow. At that level of the manifestation, I become attracted to this thing, means I superimpose joy on this thing, worth on that thing. I superimpose, you know, so many things on the world, and I run after them. And what happens? In the end, anything I get also, it brings so much of sorrow, and I don't realize too. Means his fellow becomes so... He becomes so deluded that he doesn't realize that he is experiencing sorrow also. That is a wonderful thing, that I am suffering and I don't know I am suffering. Only after a long time, if I have a chance to think in retrospect, then only I realize, but why I did all this? Why I went through all that? It was so much of sorrow. Just like the American businessman who is explaining to an Indian fisherman, hey, throw your net a few times more now. You'll catch more fishes. Because he only threw his net once and caught 5 fishes. He said, really, I'll catch more fishes? Then what? Then you'll have more fishes to sell? Then what? Then you can buy a second net. He said, but I can only throw one net. What would I do with a second net? Then you'll hire somebody from the village. He'll throw for you also. Both of you will catch so many more fishes. Then what? And he went on and on. Then you can, you know, open a big business, you can export fish, you can can fish, you open factory, you hire so many workers, you build a big house, you marry, you have 2-3 children, you have a big bank account, then you can relax. He said, what do you think I'm doing now? I'm relaxing now. He will go through all of these things. And a human being thinks that then he'll relax. Do you think he'll relax? With workers and unions and bills and export business and banks, negotiation, supplier, and with the demand on the other side, export business, anybody could relax. It doesn't happen. So the human being has to take time to now reflect, from now itself, that everything really in this world ends in sorrow. That's why the Buddha used to say, Buddhist teaching is like, it starts with this. Sarvam dukkham dukkham sarvam kshanikam kshanikam. Everything is rigged with that temporary nature, as we saw, shashvanashvarameva, in the previous verse. It is characterized by temporariness, and because of that, it is eventually, sooner or later, and sooner than later, result in sorrow only. Sarvam dukkham dukkham. Anything we pursue in the world. And if you think otherwise, well, Bhagavan said, yatha ichasi tatha kuru. As is your wish, go ahead and do. You'll see only that sooner or later it will bring only sorrow. Everything worldly. So therefore, let me look for that one reality inside, which is bringing, causing me to superimpose on this world life, and along with life, all the other things which I superimpose, like worth and value and beauty and everything. That's why beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. All these statements are so true. I am the one who superimposed beauty on it. And the same car which you like, the other fellow says, Hindu man says, this car is so beautiful, oh wow, pretty. The other one says, man, you will not catch me dead in that thing. First you have to kill me, then force me into that. I'm not going to go in it. Huh? You're so ugly for him. So, yad bhasa, that by the shining of which all other things, even though they are inert, achetana, swataha, in their neti achetana, by themselves they are inert, but yet I give life to them. So we are the ones. Man, Gurudev used to say, and man, the scriptures say, we are the final arbiters of all things in the universe. You know, we are the one who are really superimposing anything on this universe. We are the measure of things in the universe. Because the dog doesn't measure between worth of gold and... We are the ones who do everything. Tambasya pihitar kamandalani bham spurti sada bhavena. This is the most wonderful line, you know. See here. It is the same consciousness in me which gives life to the BMI. Right? BMI comes alive now. And when the BMI comes alive, the same BMI now hides the thing which gave it life. So I'm caught up with BMI now. And I forget the thing which is giving it life. In the very same way, like the sun which is there behind the clouds. That is the example which is given there. Now, it is through that same sun we are able to see the same clouds. But the same clouds block that same sun. Isn't it? See, in night time you don't see clouds because the place is dark. So you're unable to see clouds. When the sun rises, you're able to see clouds. And you're able to see clouds because only of that sun. And that same sun now blocks off the same cloud now block off that sun. That is a peculiar state, isn't it? So the same reality in me now causes the body, mind and intellect to come alive, to become aware of particular individual things. They become aware. But after they become aware now, they block off the reality which is causing them to become aware. And that reality is hidden there forever. It is the same screen which is facilitating the production of the movie. If there is no screen there, where you'll project movie? So the same screen facilitates the projection of the movie. But when the movie is projected on the screen now, nobody sees screen thereafter. Screen as though disappears. The substratum, which is supporting the thing, which is facilitating the thing, that substratum disappears as though. And the person never sees the screen until the movie is over. And it was written there at the end. Now he sees blank screen. So here, until we have brought the body, mind and intellect to a state of quietude, absolute quietude, and we have stopped the movie of life, become totally unaware of all the things going on outside, and be aware of the thing which is making all of the things happen. This movie will go on and on and on. It is also said by sages, and you will see from your own experience also, that if you are able to sit quietly and watch the mind and watch all the things happening, then you will see the best movie in the whole world. There will be no need to go to see movies in the movie theater. You'll be able to sit down and witness a wonderful movie going on in your own mind. And it has so many tricks, and it has so many plots, and so many contrivances, and so many wonderful things going on in the mind only. You'll be amazed. Therefore, he says, Ativichitra. It is simply amazing. So that which causes us to see things, and after seeing those things, we forget that thing which causes us to see. That is why the example is given. Of the sun hiding behind the cloud. Same sun is causing us to see the cloud, but same sun, same cloud is blocking off the sun now. That, you know, that is why it is said that we have to develop kritagnyata. See how all the little values that we develop in the early stages of our path of sadhana. You develop this value, that value, the other value. That's why we teach values to children. Because if you notice there is an incident of akritagnyata. The absence of kritagnyata means gratefulness. It means if I feed you, you should be favorable to me, isn't it? But after feeding you, you become unfavorable to me. That is ungratefulness or not? If I feed you and you're favorable to me, that is a gratefulness. I'm showing gratitude. The person shows gratitude because, you know, he was fed. So here, that's how the simple value can be realized or used later in life. What is that? The sun makes the cloud visible. But the cloud is ungrateful. It blocks off the same sun. So here, the Atma, which makes all things shine and appear with life, all those things now block off Atma. Veils the Atma. So the things in the... So if I learn that, we had learned, you know, kritagnyata. And the self, which is by its nature compassionate and loving and all, is causing all things to shine. And now see, all these things now, they come and they block off the same self. That means these all things are ungrateful. The universe, have you heard that? All things in the world, ungrateful. What is that? Life is fast and then you die. You hear such statements in the West and all. I remember hearing that. Life is fast and then you die. When you go through all of this and do so many things and you work for this world and build and acquire and aggrandize and, you know, you beautify and embellish the world. And in the end, what the world does? Kicks you out. You get lost. When you build nice things, you beautify, build highways and tunnels and all such things. And in the end, he says, get out. And Bhadri Hari has written, Vairagya Shatakam. We don't enjoy the world enjoys us. So the world is without any gratitude. That is the idea. Because the same self which gives it life and gives it everything, it blocks off that same self only. And therefore, I never realize myself. So what we do? Now sit down and we try to realize the self within, which is giving life even to my mind and intellect, which is giving life to this speech, which is giving life to everything. I don't have this watch today. We have 5 minutes, huh? How much?
15.
15? Let us sit down. The individuality in me, individuality in us, the individual I, is a phantom, as it were. It is the one uniform reality behind, which is capable of manifesting so many countless eyes. And so each one of us have this individual eye. To that individual eye, we go on adding things like gender, self-worth, sometimes superiority, sometimes inferiority. To that individual eye, we go on adding nationality, upadhis. I am bright, I am dull, I am man, I am woman, I am American, I am Indian, I am happy, I am miserable. We go on adding all of these things to I. And so the I which is projected is now fortified by all the things we add. What we have to do? Strip the I of all of these things. I am not man nor woman. Not happy, not miserable. Not Indian, not American. I am not agitated, nor am I karta, doer. I have not come from anywhere, nor am I going anywhere. All these are things we superimpose on I. My nature is pure being. Achaloyam. This I is achala, unmoving. A demarcated part of an infinite reality. In quietude, the lines of demarcation disappear. Now we drop all things. Drop the world. Totally renounce everything. Even if the mind is running after something, it means it is attached. It wants something, or it feels that something is mine. Give it up. Nothing is mine. I don't want anything. I don't want to go anywhere. Tame Dvesha Rago. I have no likes or dislikes. Renounce, renounce, renounce. There is an inherent, innate quietude in the whole universe that is limitless. I am part and parcel of that quietude.
Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurudev Namah.